Good morning, sisters and brothers, and welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church, virtually, online, whether you're listening or watching on YouTube. We welcome you in Jesus' name, and we pray that wherever you are gathered, in your homes, or in your homes at the breakfast table, sitting on the couch, whatever may be the case, we pray that the Holy Spirit would gather our hearts together as one this morning, and that we would worship God in grace and in peace. Before we get started in worship, a few announcements. To begin with, we want to extend our Christian sorrow and our prayers to John and Marilyn Noble in the passing of John's sister, Henrietta Skibout. We pray for them during this time and their family, and we pray God would be with them and their family. A couple other announcements as well. Just keep in mind that your tithe can be mailed to the church or brought to Janet's office here at the church. She's usually here around 10 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday, 10 to about noon or so. The church, of course, is open from 10 to 2, Monday through Friday, so you are welcome to come then as well and drop off your tithe or drop it in the mail. Finally, if you have any need for someone to pick up food for you or prescriptions for you in this strange time of social distancing and not gathering together, please feel free to call the church, to call me, and we will get you on the list and we can pick stuff up for you. We've got a list of people who are willing to get supplies for people. And if you're willing to do that, please talk to me or give Janet a call at the office as well. It's time now for us to enter into our worship this morning. So let's take a moment in silence to prepare our hearts to worship the triune God. O Holy Spirit, come now. For Jesus' sake. Amen. At this time, we will go through our call to worship this morning. Today is Palm Sunday, the day in which we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, or perhaps we could say his humble entry into Jerusalem. And so we're going to do this call to worship responsively. And you are invited in your own homes with the liturgy that you got in the email or had dropped off with the CD to follow along and to respond in the bold. We come to prepare for the holiest of weeks.
We will journey through praise with joy on our lips. We will travel through betrayal and death, cradling hope deep in our hearts.
Jesus leads us through this week, and we will follow. For he is the life we long for. He is the word who sustains us.
We wave palm branches in anticipation. We lay our love before him, who pushes his walk.
Setting aside all power and glory, all might, he comes, modeling humility and obedience for all of us.
Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who brings us.
Kingdom of God. Glory, Lord, and honor to be redeemed. To whom the
As we come into God's presence, singing before Him this morning, here and in our homes around town, God greets us with these words this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to set us free from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We come with joy into God's presence. He has greeted us with His gracious greeting. And yet we are aware that even as we sing our hosannas, that our hosannas are often for all the wrong reasons, because of the gods that we make in our own image and try to push that upon God. And so we say together, well, we say our prayer of confession this morning, and I will read it, and I ask you to bow your heads now and to listen to these words. God of the cross, tottering down the streets of Jerusalem on a donkey, you are not the Savior we expect. Your power does not look like power. We want our God to have what we want our God to have. Your wisdom makes no sense to us. We are happy to join the crowd waving branches, but we're not so sure we want to follow you through this holy week into the temple courts, into the upper room, into the Garden of Gethsemane, to the high priest's house, to the assembly of elders, to Pilate, to Herod, to the place of the skull, to the foot of the cross. We need you to go with us on this journey. Grant us clear vision, courageous hearts, persistent steps. Even though we know what this week will bring, we sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, we beseech you. Amen. At this time in our Lenten journey, we extinguish our final candle before the Christ candle. Jesus continues his journey to the cross, and he's almost there. The crowds are shouting with joy, but soon those same crowds will be shouting, Crucify him. And so the Son of Man, taking on our humanity, learns obedience through the things he suffered. We are sinners, and yet the one who travels this road on the back of a donkey goes to the cross for us, so that he might take our sin upon himself and kill it, that he might be able to forgive us. And so Jesus tells us this morning, I, the one who rode through the streets of Jerusalem as you waved your palms, I forgive you. And in the joy of that assurance, we sing our song of assurance this morning, Hosanna, praise is rising.
Thank you.
It's now time for us to gather our hearts together as one, not only here in this moment, but also in our homes as we listen and watch. So I ask you now, by the power of the Spirit, to lift your hearts with me as we offer our prayer to God this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, right now, our lives are still upside down. We don't know how long this is going to take. Lord, we lament. We lament that we cannot be together in this moment, face to face, shoulder to shoulder. We lament that there are loved ones in faraway cities who are ill. We lament, Lord, that there are people who are struggling with unemployment right now. We lament people alone in their homes feeling very alone, feeling abandoned by loved ones and by you. Lord Jesus, you have come to the cross. You have felt this loneliness yourself. You have cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Comfort the hearts of your people. Draw near to them, we pray. Lord, we think of all who are struggling with sickness among us. We think of those with cancer, especially Greg Smith, Nomi Voss, John and Judy's daughter Katie, and Greg Smith's sister Melanie. Lord, be with each of them. Keep them safe during this time of more sickness. Keep them from catching this virus. Keep all of our people safe, we pray. Keep our community safe. Lord, we are grateful that there has not been a lot of sickness here yet. And we pray that everything works as it's supposed to and we don't see a massive surge of cases here. Lord, keep your people and keep this town buoyed in spirit. And Lord, keep our faith in you. Lord, we know you are the one who has throughout history held back plagues. You are the one who has healed the sick. And we pray, Lord, that in this time you would teach us to love other people, teach us to love you through all of the strangeness and the inconvenience that is going on right now. Lord, we pray especially for the places around our country that are the hardest hit. We think of both coasts, especially New York and California and Washington State. Oh, Lord, give the doctors and nurses strength and courage. Lord, help this to peak soon and go away soon. We pray for those who are seeking to develop a vaccine. Be with them. Help their efforts. Lord, we pray for all of our shut-ins this morning. Lord, they especially feel this as they cannot have any visitors right now. We think of Audrey Van Grau, Jan Sneller, Denise Masbergen, Patty Ritzema, Frank Vandenbosch. Lord, in some ways, they're trapped. And yet we are thankful that there is plenty going on even there. The workers are present. And there can still be some interaction and some joy. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give your people their peace also. Lord, we pray during this time of being cooped up. We pray, Lord, that you would bless marriages and family relationships. This can be a hard time when there is too much togetherness. And so we pray, Lord, that you would bless our families with strength and again joy. Lord, help us to enter into Jesus' prayer with childlike faith as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Excuse me. At this time, we're going to read from the words of the Heidelberg Catechism again, and then we'll have our scripture reading. Again, from Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer one. And I want you to focus especially on one line, and I will highlight for that for you when we come to it. The Catechism asks, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I am not my own but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. And then this line, in fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Excuse me. Our scripture passage this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill that which was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, See, your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and set Jesus on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord, to which we say, Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me a moment that we might hear God's word, that in our own homes, here and now, God would speak to us. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we do confess indeed that we worship in spirit and in truth. We worship in you through Jesus, the truth. And so we pray this morning again that you would unite our hearts together as one, so that the word preached might become the very word of God, might become Jesus revealing himself to each one of us. Holy Spirit, come. so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there I sit at my little plastic-topped desk. I still have my black snow pants on, my wool socks, and my neckerchief knotted at my throat. One end of the neckerchief is in my mouth. I'm chewing on it nervously. I have that yellow number 2 pencil in my hand. And I can feel the heat rising in my face as I look down at the math worksheet on my plastic top desk. All of the symbols and numbers begin to swim before my eyes, and I slam my pencil down in frustration. This was supposed to be easy. I'm never going to understand it. It doesn't make any sense. And I look up, and there's Mrs. Sakinga standing over my desk. Well, I feel a little bit of shame in this moment. I wasn't usually one of the ones to have an outcry. But I also feel a little spark of hope in my gut. The homework, or the worksheet, out in front of me, it doesn't make any sense. And there's a part of me that's hopeful that Mrs. Sakinga will just lean over and scribble the answer right there on my math worksheet. Presto, it'll be solved. The problem will be dealt with. But of course, Mrs. Sakinga doesn't do anything of the sort. Calm down, Nevada. And like any good teacher, she leans forward and she begins to invite me into the process of learning how to do this math worksheet. Because the real problem is not so much all the numbers and equations and symbols that are all over the worksheet. The real problem is that I don't have the skill set to do it. I don't know how to pull off this long division or this multiplying these big numbers by each other. And so she invites me into her own struggles when she was 8 years old, 9 years old, or 10 years old. Now, Nevada, here are the steps, and this is how you do it. First you do this, and then you do that. She doesn't do the problem for me, but she invites me to do the problem with her. She trains me to be able to fill out the worksheet. Now, in our text this morning, the people of Judea, the people around Jerusalem, need precisely this kind of teacher. You see, they're all sitting there in that one-room schoolhouse at their little plastic top desks. They've all got their, coveralls on or their snow pants. Hey, this is the middle of Montana. Well, no, it's Palestine, but you get the point. They've all got their stuff on, and they're looking at the math worksheet of life, and it doesn't make any sense to them. The problems are swimming before their eyes. Brutal Roman soldiers, taxes that are making the economy tank at times, loved ones with leprosy, potholes in the Roman roads, unemployment, fishermen who can't get work, one thing after another. And they don't know how to deal with these problems, how to fix them. And so they're clutching the little number 2 pencil in their hand, and then the heat rises in their face, and they slam it down on their desk. This was supposed to be easy. Life was supposed to make sense. And then they look up, and here's the teacher standing over their desk, Jesus. And they're feeling a little bit ashamed of the outburst, but also a little surge of hope. The teacher's here. Well, maybe Jesus is just going to lean over and scribble the answer to all of these problems on the worksheet. Maybe he's going to say a word and all the potholes are going to be filled. Maybe he's going to clap his hands and leprosy will be a thing of the past. Maybe he's going to snap his fingers and the Romans are just going to go home with their tails between their legs. Maybe taxes will be gone. He's going to fix it. And so the people begin to gather there on the top of the Mount of Olives. The young men with nervous energy running, ripping off low-hanging palm branches. Children tittering and grinning. Old men smiling toothless smiles. The women already laying out the cloaks, already heading down the side of the mountain. And then the two disciples arrive, leading the donkey and her colt. The donkey's flicking flies away with the ear. The colt is nuzzling her bag and sucking. And the two men pull off their sweat-stained cloaks and throw them on the back of the donkey. Jesus climbs up, kicks with his heels and clucks with his mouth, and heads off down the mountainside. He heads off down the mountainside, and the people begin to chant and cheer. Everyone at their desks chanting and cheering, because here is the teacher who's going to write the answer and fix it all. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Waving palm branches, shouting, people before him, people behind him. The whole thing a riot of color and babble and dust. They enter the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is shaking. The whole school is now excited. The teacher is here. Who is this? Ah, said the people. Yes, it is the teacher. It's the prophet, the one that Moses told us would come, the one who would show us all things. Jesus of Nazareth from Galilee. He's here. He's just going to lean over each of our desks and solve life's equations for us. All our problems are going to be gone. The people of Judea wanted not a teacher. They wanted someone to do their homework for them. I wonder how it is that we sing Hosanna this morning. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Because we too are all at our little plastic top desks. We're all there clutching our number two pencils, looking at life's problems, the math of life. And a lot of times we really don't have any idea how to deal with any of this stuff. Family fights, workplace problems, health issues. We have all sorts of things within each of our lives that, man, how do I deal with this? And then on top of it, now you've got this whole coronavirus thing thrown on top, this sort of looming presence out there somewhere, upending everything. Some people are not able to work much at all. Other people have too much to do. Everything's all over the place. And we look at the problems of who we are, and the symbols and numbers begin to swim before our eyes, and we slam our pencil down on the desk. This was supposed to be easy. Life was supposed to make sense. It was supposed to fit together. But I don't know how to do this. And then there's Jesus standing over our desk. And again, we're feeling that little bit of shame. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have been throwing a fit. But at the same time, maybe the teacher. He's the prophet. Maybe he's just going to lean over and scribble the answer. Maybe he's going to clap his hands and all of our petty family infighting where mom and dad like John better than me. And John, he always revels in being the favored kid, but you know, I've always wanted, and all that sort of stuff's gone. Maybe he's going to snap his fingers and the coronavirus is going to disappear. Maybe he's going to say a word and, you know, taxes will be a thing of the past. And so there we are, lining the way down the Mount of Olives, grabbing the palm branches ourselves, waving them. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is here and he's going to fix all of our problems. It's all going to be great. We're throwing our robes down in front to roll out the red carpet for him. Our children are tittering and grinning. Maybe we're toothless and we're smiling, toothless grins. And yet, as Jesus rides on, he rides silently. All of us are shouting, those in first century Palestine, those here in 21st century Lamars, we're all shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! But Jesus is silent. Silent like a good teacher. Because we want someone to lean over and scribble the answer for us, to take away all our problems. And yet that's not what Jesus does. Like any good teacher, Jesus is quiet beside us and then begins to invite us into his own experience of these problems. Begins to invite us into his own work through this, his own learning from years before. The writer of the book of Hebrews says that he learned patience through his suffering. He learned. And so the teacher, the prophet, begins to teach us. Teach us, because the real problem is not that list of problems there on our math worksheet. Those are real problems, no doubt. They are powerful and painful, and they are frustrating. But the real problem underlying it all is that we don't know how to do the math of life. We don't know how to work through life. We don't know how to love. And so Jesus leans down, puts his hand on our shoulder, calm down, Nevada, and he begins to offer us step by step how to do the math of life. We read from the Heidelberg Catechism this morning that strange phrase, in fact, all things must work together for my salvation. The wording, of course, comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 8th chapter. Paul is looking at the whole classroom. He sees the math worksheets on all of our desks. And Paul pulls no punches. He recognizes that the long division and the multiplication, all of these issues of life's problems, they are real and frustrating. Paul talks about peril and tribulation. He talks about sword and nakedness. He talks about martyrdom. He says, the problems on your worksheet of life are like the whole creation, groaning and screaming, a woman in travail. They're real problems. But, says Paul, but God has come near to you in Jesus Christ to teach you through these problems. God has come near to use all of this mess. He doesn't create the mess, but he uses the mess to teach you how to live within the mess. All things work together for good to those who are called according to God's purpose. Not all things are good. Not all of those problems on the worksheet are just fine. No, they're bad. They're evil. But God can use them to teach you how to be, as Paul then goes on to say, conformed to the image of his Son. Those he called, he predestined, and those he predestined, he justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. God is using all the mess of this world to make you into someone who looks like Jesus. And so it is that Jesus leans over our desk and he begins to invite us into this process of learning obedience through the things that he suffered, teaching us how to do the math of life. Step one, get on a donkey. Step two, go clopping down the hill to Golgotha. Because, of course, that's what the triumphal entry really is. All of the shouting and joy and praise, that's all fine and good. But the donkey is headed to the cross. The moment where Jesus will take upon himself death. He will die to himself. He will show love for the world. And so, Jesus, with his hand on your shoulder, not scribbling the easy answer for you, begins to teach you and to invite you into that cross life, putting you on the donkey with him, down the side of the Mount of Olives, through Jerusalem's cobble streets, headed towards the place of the skull, teaching you to take up your own cross and to die, to follow him in love. This is how you do the math of life. It's not about you. It is about love for God and love for neighbor. Dying to yourself and living to others. This is how you do it, step by step. And so this morning, the question that Jesus presses upon us is, how is it that I am using all of this mess right now? The frustrations in your own life, the family problems that are only worse now because everybody's cooped up at home, your health problems, the looming threat of a virus somewhere out there, maybe friends have it, maybe they don't. How am I using all of that to teach you to love? How am I using all those symbols and numbers on your math worksheet to teach you to take up your cross and to follow me? How is Jesus doing that for you this morning? How is he doing it for me? How is he bringing us into his work? Not doing a quick fix for our problems, but teaching us to be the kind of people who sacrifice themselves, who love when all the world around them goes crazy. So this morning, as you sing Hosanna not because the teacher is standing beside you and you think, he's going to fix all my problems in life, it's all going to be easy now. No, sing Hosanna because the teacher is standing beside you and he is inviting you into the way of the cross. A hard way, but the way of life, the cross that leads to resurrection. Jesus is teaching you. He's teaching me. And if he's teaching, that is always good news. That is the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In response to God's word this morning, we're going to sing Meekness and Majesty from Lift Up Your Hearts, number 157.
Meekness and majesty.
brothers and sisters, as you now go out in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God, go out learning from the teacher, the one who doesn't necessarily make your life easier. In fact, sometimes I think as we become Christians, things get tougher because Jesus calls us to the way of the cross. He calls us to ride the donkey with him to Golgotha. But go forth learning and loving the one who has given himself for you and teaches you to love each other and to love God. And so go forth with God's blessing this morning. God go before you to guide you. God go behind you to protect you. God go beneath you to support you. God go beside you to befriend you. Be not afraid. Let the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you, settle in around you, and make its home in you. Be not afraid. Go in peace.